Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. This week is part two in a series called Observations About Israel, or Must Know Truths About Israel. Last week we just covered two of the 8 points. Number one, Israel is a sign in God's prophetic timetable. The reestablishment of national Israel is a sign of the end of the church age, the coming apocalypse, and the soon return of Christ. And this involves quite a number of prophecies, such as Matthew chapter 24, when you see the fig tree representing Israel put forth its leaves, you know that Christ's coming is near. Also, Paul's teachings in Romans chapter 11 about the acceptance of Israel will be life from the dead. Romans 11, 23, God can graft in Israel again. Romans 11, 25, a partial hardening has happened to Israel, but only until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Then it seems once the Gentiles have had their opportunity, this partial hardening of Israel will end. There's also Revelation chapter 7, where a great conversion among the Jews is prophesied, and also Revelation chapter 11, where the prophetic future includes the temple, two prophets, and the city of Jerusalem. Now, all this can be rather confusing to those who are new in the faith, but the takeaway is that there is some prophetic basis in what we're seeing in the reestablishment of Israel after 2,000 years. Be amazed. Be warned. A second must-know truth that I addressed last week is that Israel is unclean, impure, unholy. And this comes from the prophet Haggai when the Jews returned from their first exile, or rather the first diaspora. The prophet Haggai pronounced that the nation was unclean, but God would bless them anyway for the sake of his plan to use Israel, namely to bring in the Messiah. And this should be a reminder to Jews in Israel today that they're not being blessed because of their own military ability and technology or because of their own wealth and education, but by the providential hand of God, despite themselves. And the naysayers, even in evangelicalism, that point out that the Jews are not behaving like God's holy people. So how can we support them? Well, they need to understand that Israel can be in the prophetic program of God despite sin and despite having rejected Christ. In fact, they're being gathered together by God to address that very issue. And of course, the majority of the Jewish people are unsaved, and many of them have contributed to the cultural rot that's in the world today, but just like many Gentiles. Nevertheless, that shouldn't stop Christendom from supporting Zionism. Well, this brings me to my third must-know truth about Israel, that there's a dangerous rise in anti-Zionism in the American church. To put it bluntly, on the positive side, must know truth number three, Christians need to support national Israel. The term being used by some evangelicals is not anti-Semitism, being against the Jews themselves, but anti-Zionism, which means opposing the Jewish Zionist vision of reestablishing national Israel in our former territory, and that Israel has no land rights, and instead we should let the occupying Islamists have the land. Many in the church are being influenced by Islam and leftist opponents of Israel. And I'm sure Satan himself and the doctrines of demons have something to do with this. These groups view Jews as racists, as invaders. Now, mainline denominations that have gone into religious apostasy decades ago and are now flying rainbow flags have always been opposed to Israel. They have all made their opposition known by divesting from companies that have a presence in or support Israel. But the surprise is that this same opposition to Israel is now showing up in conservative evangelicalism, but with a more gospel-centered explanation for anti-Zionism. And I believe it's a misunderstanding and misuse of Scripture, but they're trying to use the Bible and the doctrines of salvation to refute Zionism. So that what we now have to address is true born-again Christians being led astray by this teaching. And I'm not surprised that support for Israel is now being attacked in the church. The way I read Scripture, it's been a great thing that because of our Christian heritage and culture in the United States, the U.S. has been the main supporter of Israel. It's one of the good things that our country does, and maybe it's resulted in our blessing since we're supporting the prophetic program of God. Israel would probably not exist if it weren't for the United States. The U.S. is the richest and most powerful country in the world, and we can assume that all the forces of evil will work to undermine America's cultural positive beliefs about Israel and America's support for Israel and work to drive a wedge between the United States and Israel. And now we know that we have an entire political party in America, the Democrats, who are now overtly anti-Israel. Last week, CNN released a poll that in 2017, Democrats favored Israel over the Palestinian Intifada by 14 percentage points. But this year, in 2025, Democrats favor the Palestinian Intifada over Israel by 57 points. A complete reversal. And CNN pointed out that this shift toward the Palestinian Muslims is directly related to the success of Zoran Mamdani, a Muslim who won the New York City Democrat primary. This is the new Democrat Party. Pro-abortion, pro-transgender, pro-LGBTQ, pro-men and women's sports, and pro-Islam and Hamas. You know, at the very least, Christians who are questioning Zionism through some new biblical teaching ought to consider their bedfellows, who they're also with in anti-Zionism. Now, that's not the only reason for rejecting a position, but it should give you some pause because you become part of the Psalm 83 crowd. Psalm 83, verse 2, "For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people and conspire against your treasured ones. They have said, 'Come, let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more.' For they have conspired together with one mind. Against you, they make a covenant." So this is a spiritual issue. This animus toward Israel comes from those who oppose God. Now, the new anti-Zionist evangelical response would be, well, who are God's people and who are God's treasured ones? As mentioned in Psalm 83:3. And their argument is that God's people and God's treasured ones are the church, the Christians, the true believers. They are the true Israel of God. For God gave Israel, natural Israel, a writ of divorce and said, "You're no longer my people." Hosea chapter 1, verse 9 and Isaiah chapter 50. And this is true. But we shouldn't look at those texts in exclusion to all the other texts that tell us that corporate, national, physical Israel will be gathered back into the land, and national Israel still has a part in God's prophetic plan. Romans chapter 11, God is able to graft her in again, and a partial hardiness happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. This is speaking about corporate, physical, national Israel, the physical descendants of Abraham. Now, this gets kind of deep, but we have to understand how God deals corporately with groups. Now, we tend to think God's work is only about individual salvation, but God works with nations corporately to affect individual salvation. And the whole basis for the New Testament teaching that God set aside the Jews and that the gospel, the spiritual mantle, has now gone to the Gentiles is really based on the theology that God works corporately with people groups. Now, this is difficult to understand how this works, and no theologian has ever really figured this out, but in some way, a spiritual mantle has moved from the Jews to the Gentiles. Not all Gentiles will be saved, but God is still dealing with them and referring to them as a corporate group. And this concept is biblical. And yes, the mantle has switched to the Gentiles, but the point is that it may once again come upon national Israel, so that at the end of this age, there will be a salvation for many individual Jews. God may have issued national Israel a certificate of divorce, but the basis for current evangelical support for Israel today is the prophetic scripture about God's future work with national Israel. Not that the Jews are God's people now, but many will be. And we understand God's work corporately with nations so that we just don't support the Jews that believe in Jesus, but the whole nation. Notice what Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 24. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to this people. Jesus was clearly speaking about the Jews, national Israel. God still considered them a corporate whole. Verse 24, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all of the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles, which is what has been happening over the last 2,000 years, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Notice that there is some spiritual blessing, some mantle, some opportunity called the times of the Gentiles. And notice Jesus also says that the time of the Gentiles will have a fulfillment, a completion date. And Jerusalem will be trampled down by other nations until that completion date. Implied is that national Israel will no longer be in exile, and Jerusalem will no longer be trampled down by the Gentiles once God completes the time of the Gentiles. The text does not say Jerusalem, Israel, will be trampled down by the Gentiles in perpetuity. And if that text is not enough, in explaining the place of national physical Israel in prophecy, Paul quotes Jesus' words in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Romans 11, 25, for I do not want you, brethren, to be informed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimations, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now, Paul's words here are very significant. Why, in reference to views concerning national Israel, does Paul call God's work with national Israel a mystery? And then says, do not be wise in your own estimation. Now, what's fascinating is that this new anti-Zionism and evangelicalism, in discovering certain texts of scripture about the identity of true Israel, are coming across as being wise in their own estimation. They think they know more than they actually know, and they think they've discovered some new truth, and that they need to correct all of this pro-Israeli support in Christendom. But they neglect so many other clear scriptures that lead Christians to support Israel. Earlier in Romans chapter 11, Paul also told these Gentile critics of national Israel, do not be arrogant toward the natural branches, the Jews, verse 18, and verse 20, do not be conceited. And lo and behold, this sure looks like what we're seeing in the new anti-Zionism and evangelicalism, the depiction of the Jews as such terrible people as if the Gentiles are so upright. So I hope you're following me on this. You know, this program is broadcasted all over New York City. Bridge Radio has their radio tower in the heart of Manhattan, and it's in the middle of the dial, 95.1 FM. And I'm sure, you know, this message is going over the heads of many who are not familiar with Christianity and the Bible. You know, without a working knowledge of the Bible, it's very difficult to process all of these prophecies and these issues. You know, all I can say is hang in there, seek and you will find, and you're eventually going to get to the top of the learning curve if you set your mind on knowing God and His Word. However, let me illustrate the relevance of this entire discussion. Theologically, what people believe affects American public policy and American foreign policy. 2 weeks ago, Ted Cruz, senator from Texas, a Christian and a son of a pastor, was being interviewed by Tucker Carlson. And Carlson took Cruz to task for his support of Israel based upon Christian teaching. Tucker Carlson has had on his program quite a few anti-Zionist conservatives. So they seem to have convinced Carlson that the Jews are a problem and the Bible doesn't support Zionism and Israel's right to the land. So just listen to this minute and a half exchange.
Growing up in Sunday school, I was taught from the Bible, those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. And from my perspective, I want to be on the blessing side of things.
Of the those who bless the government of Israel?
Those who bless Israel is what it says. It doesn't say the government of, it says the nation of Israel. So that's in the Bible. As a Christian, I believe that.
Where is that?
I can find it to you. I don't have the scripture off the tip of my... You pull out the phone and use the Google.
It's in Genesis. So you're quoting a Bible phrase. You don't have context for it and you don't know where in the Bible it is, but that's like your theology? I'm confused. What does that even mean?
Tucker.
I'm a Christian. I want to know what you're talking about.
Okay. Where does my support for Israel come from? Number one, because biblically we're commanded to support Israel. But number two.
Well, hold on.
Hold on.
You're a senator and now you're throwing out theology and I am a Christian and I am allowed to weigh in on this. We are commanded as Christians to support the government of Israel?
We are commanded to support Israel. And we're
what does
told,
that mean, Israel?
We're told those who bless Israel will be blessed.
But what, hold on, define Israel. This is important. Are you kidding? This is a majority Christian country.
Define Israel? Do you not know what Israel is? That would be the country you've asked like 49 questions about.
So that's what Genesis, that's what God is talking about.
The nation of Israel, yes.
And so is that the current borders, the current leadership? He's talking about the political entity called Israel?
He's talking about the nation of Israel. Yeah, nations exist, and he's discussing a nation. A nation was the people of Israel.
Is the nation
the descendants
God's referring
of Abraham.
To in Genesis, is that the same as the country run by Benjamin Netanyahu right
yes.
now?
Yes.
Now, it seems as if Ted Cruz was surprised by Tucker Carlson's pushback. I imagine that Cruz is not up to date on the latest anti-Zionism trends in evangelicalism. Cruz simply is holding to what he heard in the church growing up. Carlson knows the text Cruz was referring to in the book of Genesis. But Carlson has had an earful from others that the Genesis passage is being misinterpreted to support Israel today. The text Cruz mentioned is God's promise to Abraham when God calls him out of Ur of the Chaldees to form a nation, Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. What nation is in view? It doesn't specifically name Israel, but it's clear that the main nation that came from the descendants of Abraham is Israel. And that is the nation that has received special favor, and that's the nation that will bless all the families of the earth. For through Israel, God would give his word and his salvation through the Messiah for all people. Cruz says, biblically, we're commanded to support Israel. Carlson asks, define Israel. And I love Cruz's answer. Do you not know what Israel is? The point Carlson was trying to make is that current day Israel is not biblical Israel. Anti-Zionist evangelicals make a distinction between national Israel and the true Israel of God. The true believers, they are the ones who are to be blessed, according to Genesis 12. And this is a point that's made in Scripture. Romans chapter 2, verse 28, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. Paul also writes in Galatians, therefore be sure that it's those who are of faith who are of the sons of Abraham. The scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying all nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. Still, Abraham and his descendants were the ones who brought this blessing on those who have faith, like Abraham. And who are the ones who have the faith? Well, Galatians 3:29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. The Christians are the true Jews, both those who are believers from among the Jews who are Christians and among the Gentiles who are Christians. They are the ones who receive the promise of Genesis chapter 12. However, let's not forget the Romans chapter 11, verse 25, mystery of the program of God in corporate national Israel. There was an earthly blessing that did fall on national Israel, the physical descendants of Abraham, saved and unsaved. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, they all drank of the same spiritual drink. Physical, natural Israel received earthly promises from God. The distinction between the promises to physical national Israel and spiritual Israel are complicated and hard to define, but the blessings on the physical descendants of Abraham is evident in Scripture. God did deal with them corporately. And when one reads the Old Testament and you read the word Israel, it's really hard to determine whether the prophet is speaking about true spiritual Israel or national physical Israel, or both. Ted Cruz is right. Nations exist, and they're established by God, and God is discussing an actual nation in Genesis chapter 12. The government run by King David, by King Jehoshaphat, by King Manasseh, and now Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is the nation of Israel, with certain earthly privileges and promises. Even the biblical prophets called national, physical, corporate Israel, Israel. The current borders, the current leadership, the current political entity is Israel. True Israel, true believing Jews are within it. And maybe the unbelieving Jews are being carried along in that corporate entity through their physical connection to Abraham. But there is still the Jewish people and the nation of Israel, and that distinction is not erased in the New Testament. The current support for national Israel in America is because America, having a Christian heritage, and the people in America reading constantly in the Bible the word Israel, they understood Israel was a nation. Now, yes, we understand the deeper theology that now and in the end, the only ones who are the true Israel of God will be the believers. But for now, there is also national Israel. And Christians are not making a mistake in believing that God still has a program for national Israel. The magazine The Federalist had an article last week entitled, "What Does the Bible Really Say About Who the True Israel Is?" It was written by Rich Lusk, a Presbyterian pastor in Alabama. And in this article, he responds to Ted Cruz's interview with Tucker Carlson, sharing all of his Reformed theology that the church is the true Israel of God and that the church is being referred to in Genesis chapter 12. Hence, in the words of Pastor Lusk, quote, Cruz is simply wrong. There is no sense in which Christians or America owe the modern nation of Israel unconditional support. This may require a difficult and shocking paradigm shift for many American Christians, but it's a shift that absolutely must happen. If we want the blessing of Genesis 12, we must bless Christ and his church. Thus, this weird obsession with Israel has to end. Many evangelical American political leaders have boasted, "I stand with Israel." This is bizarre and misguided. The modern nation of Israel should not be treated as theologically special. The true Israel of God is not located on a strip of land in the Middle East. It is not launching missiles at Iran or hiding behind an Iron Dome. The true Israel is gathered to worship the triune God at a church near you this Sunday. The true Israel finds our identity in preaching the gospel, the waters of baptism, and the celebration of the Eucharist. Want to stand with Israel? Great. Take your stand with Jesus and his church, unquote. Now, in this article, Pastor Lusk shares many scriptures that are right on. Romans chapter 9, not all Israel is Israel. Galatians chapter 3, those who belong to Christ are Abraham's descendants. Revelation chapter 2, the Apostle John calls the synagogue of the Jews the synagogue of Satan. In John chapter 8, Jesus said the Jews were of their father, the devil. And sure, dispensational theology has often failed to make the proper distinction between national Israel and true spiritual Israel. And Christians hearing all this may be persuaded by these overlooked scriptures. But Pastor Lusk fails to acknowledge all the other texts in scripture that prophesy that God still has a plan for corporate, national, physical Israel in bringing them back into the land. And like all the programs of God, we need to support them. Just like nations in 500 BC needed to support Israel in her first return from the diaspora, and they were blessed for it. Not that our support needs to come anywhere close to our involvement in missions and the spread of the gospel, but still we're called to do good to all men. Galatians 6:10. And in Israel's case, we need to recognize that they still have earthly land rights. For Romans chapter 11, verse 29, the gifts and the calling of God do not change. And the verse before that tells us all we need to know about our support for Israel. Romans chapter 11, verse 28, from the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. The they is referring to those who are physically Jews, the people group called Israel. And if there was no longer such a thing as national Israel, Paul couldn't write this. And there has to be some honor toward the Jews because of their earthly physical connection to Abraham. If there was nothing to physical corporate Israel and this earthly connection, and all that matters was the true believers and the spiritual descendants of Abraham, Paul couldn't write this. America should do good to all nations. But I would even say that because of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel should receive extra attention. Because of Romans chapter 11, verse 28, the nation of Israel should be treated as theologically special. And remember in Romans chapter 11, verse 18, the apostles' words to anti-Jew Gentiles, "Don't be arrogant. Remember, you do not support the root, but the root supports you." Well, I'm out of time, and I've only covered one more point about Israel, point number 3, the dangerous rise of anti-Zionism in the church. I wanted to get to point 4, that God will be bringing the Jews back into the land and the prophecies of Zechariah. And we're going to be seeing that unfold over the next few years. But next week, I'll discuss the return. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your prayers and support. Hit the like button, share, leave a comment below to support the cause. And may Jesus Christ reign.